If counsel for People versus Medina could take the places of counsel presently there as they vacate, we'd appreciate it, and we'll get going on that case when you're ready.
Good afternoon. Eric Samler, attorney registration number 2349, on behalf of Mr. Medina. The issue I would like to focus on today is whether the facts of this case can support a conviction for felony murder. This is not simply a factual determination, but it's also a legal determination. First, I think we need to focus on what Mr. Medina was charged with. He was charged with felony murder, F1, based upon a completed burglary, two counts of burglary, F3, one deadly weapon, one assault, and a menacing, and I believe also trespass. He was convicted of both burglaries. He was convicted of the trespass. He was convicted of manslaughter, and then burglary was used to elevate that manslaughter, I suppose, to a felony murder. The legal definition of felony murder, for the purposes of this case, is that the defendant acting alone or with one or more persons, the defendant commits or attempts to commit a burglary, and in the course of or in furtherance of the burglary that he or she is committing or attempting to commit, or in immediate flight therefrom, the death of a person other than the one of the participants is caused by anyone. The statute is intended to hold a participant in enumerated predicate felonies accountable for a non-participant's death, even if unattended, as long as the death is caused by an act that is committed in course of or furtherance of the felony or immediate flight from that felony. The statute therefore substitutes participation in the underlying felony for mens rea otherwise required to support the murder charge. It's for this reason that the felony murder statute is intended to apply when the underlying felony is distinct from, yet related to, the homicidal act. Here, we have a situation where there was one act. There was not a distinct, separate act. The purpose is not met if the conduct constituting the predicate felony is the same conduct constituting the homicide, which is exactly what happened here.
What's your best case? I think it's out of state, because in state you're not too happy with the in-state.
No. So I think that there's some sort of misunderstanding here. I don't think we need to look at what the statute says. We need to look at precisely what the statute says. We're not looking at either the California case, which I believe it was the Ireland case.
Overruled. But let's look at the statute. So mm-hmm. You got during the course of or in furtherance of.
Okay.
And I think some of the cases you rely on have a conjunctive requirement. But let's look at that. Okay. Why is this killing did not occur during the course of a burglary?
First of all, we need to look factually at what happened here, the factual context.
No, let's look at the statute. I think you said look statute. I'm asking look at the statute. Why did this not did it occur during the course of a burglary?
No, it did not.
It didn't.
It didn't.
Okay.
It didn't. And what I can say to that is perhaps you have a burglary that occurred during the commission of the homicide, but you did not have a homicide that occurred during the commission of the burglary.
Why is that? I'm lost on that one.
Okay. What you have here, and I think I have to demonstrate, and I hope that this still gets recorded, and I will try to. You have one continuous act here. You have Mr. Medina knocking on the door. You have Mr. Ramirez stepping around at the same time doing this. And the question is then, do you have the burglary before the shooting, or is it one act? But you don't have that here. You have the same evidence that supports the burglary is the same evidence that supports the homicide, in this case, the manslaughter. And perhaps I can put it to you this way, is what the problem with that is. And in fact, I've been working on this case for almost 2 years, and it finally sort of dawned to me in the last 2 days. And I'll put it this way. The same evidence was used to prove the predicate felony, the burglary, and the homicide. And that predicate felony was then used to increase what in this case the jury found to be a manslaughter to a first degree murder, even though there was only one act. There's no way you can separate out those two, that act into a separate burglary And
let's assume there was only one act, and I'm not sure I'm buying that assumption, but there's only one act.
Mm-hmm.
That one act created two distinct harms in the criminal law.
Well,
it did it. I mean, it broke a threshold. It committed, it constituted a burglary. You're not saying there's no crime here. It constituted a burglary. You're saying just punish him for burglary and a separate manslaughter without elevating the burglary to felony murder. But I mean, clearly, I think even in your position, you're saying he can be convicted of two distinct crimes, a manslaughter, you would say, and a burglary. Is that not your position?
Well, I'm not even sure in there, if you look under the Wolhoff, whether or not you can do that, because there's still one continuous separate act. And under the unit of prosecution thing, you can't convict someone of the both of both acts when there is only one act, not separated by volition. There's the same volitional, what's the word? There's no volitional departure.
Yeah,
no,
but Wolhoff is a single crime. It's the same crime. Here you have two distinct legal crimes. Mm-hmm. I think Wolhoff is a distinct situation. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, Wolhoff, you talk about a unit of prosecution for one statutory crime.
That's correct.
Here you have two statutory crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you were conceding that he could be convicted of burglary and of manslaughter. But what can he be convicted of?
No, I'm not conceding that, because I think it's inherently wrong to have a burglary based upon assault. And when that assault is subsumed into the manslaughter, say that we're going to convict you of two separate crimes.
But what can he be convicted of? In the light most favorable to the prosecutor, what can he stand convicted of?
The manslaughter. Is what I say. I think he convicted only of the manslaughter.
All right, Mr. Samler, what I'm trying to distill from your argument,
mm-hmm.
because you're talking about acts and then you're also arguing intent.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can distill what you're talking about, that the felony murder cannot exist, is that based on the act is the same, or is it based on the intent is the same, or can you
It's based
help
on
me
the
out?
Fact that under the statute, the intent of the statute and what the statute says, this does not constitute a felony murder. Because what you need under the felony murder statute is a predicate felony, and then during the commission of, or the intent to commit a predicate felony, and then during that predicate felony, either the commission of, or in furtherance of, or in flight from, a killing or a death.
So essentially you're saying a felony murder cannot be based on an assault, is distilling it down? To what you're saying, or is there something else?
Well, there's more than that. Let's look at this case and let's back to what I thought came to me within the last few days. If you have what you have here is that you're using the mens rea for the act resulting in death, which was one act, which was one continuous act. I don't think you can break that up. You can say, okay, we're going to call it a burglary and we're going to call it a felony murder. It's one continuous act, undifferentiated in time, place, and volitional departure. That I think can't be argued against. I don't think you can say, okay, this is the burglary, and then once the bullet leaves the gun, it becomes a manslaughter or some form of homicide. You're then using the mens rea for the act resulting in the death to serve as a substitute for the mens rea of the act resulting in the death, elevating the mens rea for that act resulting in the death to a first degree murder.
Mr. Samler, if mm-hmm. I may interrupt, let's do a hypothetical.
Okay.
Assume that I decide that I'm going to go burglarize a closed convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
I'm armed with a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
As I walk up to the darkened convenience store, I see that there is a guard inside. The guard is going to be in the way of my plans. So I punch a hole in the glass, and I fire through the hole, and I kill the guard.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I am interrupted, and I run away. Have I committed felony murder?
Yeah, yes, you have, and I'll tell you why that's different. You had the intent to commit that burglary. There was a predicate felony. You had the intent to commit a predicate felony of the burglary, and you went up there with the intent to commit that predicate felony of the burglary. Here, there was never an intent to commit the predicate felony.
Well,
the only intent involved here was the intent to cause harm or cause injury to the victim.
Well,
that was the only intent.
If I may, as I understand the facts of the case, these fellows decided that they would go over there because one of them receives a phone call saying that one of the occupants, that the fellow who was murdered, raped a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And they went over there. There is some evidence to indicate that they went over there to assault this man. The purpose of the visit, this was not a social visit. The purpose of the visit was to assault him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand what the difference is between that case and my hypothetical.
Well, I can tell you the difference. I can tell you the difference that in the felony murder statute, assault does not serve as a predicate felony.
Oh, but burglary does.
Because if in fact assault did, then every single homicide would be elevated to a first-degree murder.
If we're with you on that, but burglary does.
But burglary with the
intent. And your point is burglary with the intent to assault cannot. Burglary with the intent to steal would.
But there was no intent to commit a burglary at the time. There was never, they did not go over there with the intent to commit a burglary. Even if, under the facts as stated by Judge Bernard, if they went over there with the intent to commit an assault, there was no indication that there was an intent to commit a burglary.
Well,
there was no indication whatsoever.
If I may ask you,
mm-hmm.
Isn't a fair reading of the facts in this case that they went over there for the purpose of assaulting the man to punish him for the rape, which would include going into the apartment for that purpose, that they were going to go there and beat him for raping the girl? Now, how is that different? I'm having trouble with that.
The difference is, and I'm still going to go back to this, is that there was only one act. You know, there was only one act at all. Regardless of what, there was not two separate acts. There was not a burglary and then a shooting. There was a shooting. And if you're dividing up that one act into two acts by some legal construct and saying we're going to make this, what's the manslaughter, into a felony murder.
So you're saying if they went over there with the same purpose and he'd opened the door and they punched him, we wouldn't have burglary?
You would have an assault. If they went in and actually broke the threshold, stepped into the house, and then shot the weapon while they were in the house, you have two separate acts.
I'm just talking about they're standing at the threshold, the door opens, and instead of sticking the gun in and firing it, instead a fist that comes through and punches him.
Well, the difference is you wouldn't have a felony murder statute here.
I understand.
You understand that.
But are you telling me that there wouldn't be?
The purpose behind the felony murder statute, and you have to look at what the purpose behind the felony murder statute is, say there are certain enumerated crimes that we think are so inherently dangerous that if you commit these crimes, be they burglary, robbery, kidnapping, sexual assault, and I think there's one more, and I'm not sure. There may be, but it's been escaping me today. If you commit these crimes and a death occurs, we're going to hold you strictly liable under, and you're going to get life without parole.
I understand that, but we're going back to whether there's a burglary. Are you telling me that there wouldn't be a burglary in my scenario if instead of the barrel of the gun bullet?
I'm not saying that there wouldn't be. What I'm saying here is that act here that's being quote-unquote defined as a burglary cannot serve as the predicate felony for the felony murder, because it's one and the same act. Because what you're doing is using the mens rea for the burglary and the shooting, which is the same act, to elevate the mens rea for that same act into a higher mens rea.
If the only charge, let's get it a different way, if the only charge here is burglary, would you say the evidence did not support a burglary conviction?
I can't say that the evidence would not necessarily, I disagree with that, but whether or not the evidence would support a burglary.
Sufficiency claim.
If there was evidence that there was a crossing of the threshold by the foot or the barrel of the gun or the hand.
And probably. So there's sufficient proof of burglary, and that's still come back, and a killing occurred during the course of a burglary. You're saying that it didn't occur during the course of a burglary
They both occurred at the exact same time. There was not an intent to go over there to commit a burglary. There was an intent to go over there to do harm to this fellow. That was the intent. I think we all agree upon that. It wasn't an intent to commit a burglary. And during the commission of that homicide, happened to be a crossing. So let's put it this way then. If the step was one back and there was not a crossing, that would have been a homicide.
And there'd be no burglary. You've conceded there's a burglary here, though, so that's not an
apt. The legal fiction here is that there was two separate acts. There really was not two separate acts. There was one act.
And that's precisely why the burglary conviction was merged by the court into the homicide conviction, the felony murder conviction. There's only one conviction.
The problem remains is that you're using that same mens rea, of one act, okay. That one act of shooting the weapon.
Oh, breaking the threshold.
No.
He didn't have to break the threshold. You're hypothetically could have stood behind the door and shot him, and then you might not have a burglary. And in your hypothetical, it probably wouldn't be a felony murder because there's no burglary.
Under my hypothetical, if he stepped back and did that, there wouldn't
have been. If he never broke the apartment, never entered, there'd be no burglary, I'd assume.
I presume there would not be. Presume there ought to be, but that doesn't answer the question of using the mens rea of the one continuous act to elevate that one continuous act up to a first degree murder when the jury found that act was consisted of a manslaughter. And that's the problem here. And I don't know what food group we put this in, quite frankly. You know, I don't know if we put this in the food group of saying that there's not sufficient evidence. I don't know if we put this in the food group of due process, quite frankly. And I think that's what we've all been struggling with, and I've been struggling with in this brief, is what food group this is. But it's inherently wrong to use one act, undifferentiated, to elevate the same mens rea for that one act up to a first-degree murder when there was only one act. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Catherine Hansen appearing on behalf of the people in this matter, registration number 25464. Ultimately, what the defendant is arguing is that you simply cannot have a felony murder predicated on a burglary that's predicated on the intent to commit assault of the victim. That's what he's arguing. Basically, our statutes say you can. Our case law says you can. Out-of-state case law says you can. I think that's what it boils down to. I don't have anything in addition to add based on the comments made by counsel. Anything in addition to anything I've said in my answer brief. Be happy to answer any questions that this court has about this issue or any of the others. If this court has no further questions, we would simply ask that you affirm. Thank you.
Samler,
I don't think it's worth my effort to get up there. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, thank you for your arguments. The case will stand submitted, and an opinion will issue in due course. Though we are at the end of our 1:30 docket, I'd like to inquire whether counsel for In Re Marriage of Siegfried have checked in. Do we have both counsel yet? Very fine. Do we have counsel for the other side yet? No. All right. We shall take a short recess, and if the bailiff will inform us when counsel for the other side comes, we'd appreciate that very much. Thank you.